message download that you can use to follow along. Before we get into the message, I do want to read to you a passage of scriptures from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians is one of those letters that was written by an early church leader, apostle named Paul. It's towards the back of our Bible in the New Testament. It was written to people that lived in a place called Corinth. And so hear these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul wrote, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he was committed to us, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. As Jimmy had mentioned, we are finishing a series of messages here called Baggage. But I want to let you know that next week we're beginning a brand new series of messages. It's actually going to be a really fun and an exciting series of messages called I Love the 80s. Now, if you can't tell by my hairstyle, I love the 80s. Some of us grew up during that time. Now it's our time of coming of age. For others, it was a time that we just assumed get through. But however we went through it, it made an indelible mark upon us as a people and upon our society and our culture. And so we're going to be using some themes from the 80s to jump off to really get at some biblical truths that will affect our walk with Christ. And so we made just a little brief video introduction for you to take a look at to get you excited about I Love the 80s message series. Can you go ahead and play that, John? We're going to start that next week, so I want to invite you to invite somebody else to come with you to New Season next week as we take part in this exciting new series. Let's, before we get into the message for today, begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we're so thankful for this opportunity to come here and to hear your word as it's read in the Bible and to hear it proclaimed. And as we come here, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would dwell to open our minds and our hearts that we might just receive that one thing that you'd want us to hear this morning. We pray for your healing presence to be in this place. And Lord, I pray that you would protect me from me and hide me behind the cross of Jesus, that at the end of today, at the end of this message, that his name would be lifted up. We make these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we are finishing up this series of messages that we've been doing called Baggage. And we looked at a number of different themes throughout this series. Today we're going to be looking at how do we overcome the emotional baggage in our life? How do we shut the door on the negative influences, on the negative voices that tend to infect our minds and our hearts, and they kind of seep into us? And how do we take all of that, shut the door on it, and replace it and open the door of Christ's truth and who we are in Christ? And so that's our aim today. You know, more often than not, if you're carrying emotional baggage around in your life, you're carrying it around because of some negative, or more precisely, some hurtful words that have been spoken to you. So our goal today is to trust in the power, not of those negative words, but in the power of God's word to set us free from those negative voices, those hurtful voices that cause emotional baggage in our lives. What we want to do today is silence those words, and replace them with the truth of God's love. You know, I think it's kind of human nature, though, for us to kind of dwell on the negative. It's human nature for us to really take to heart those things that are hurtful. Let me give you kind of an example, a really simple example of kind of how that goes. It's an example from my life. And it had to do with the egg hunt that we did not too long ago for Lancaster Gate Subdivision. We had a really great, awesome egg hunt. We've been doing it for 5 years, and the egg hunt this year was just as great as the egg hunt the last 4 years. I mean, everybody had a great time. There's tons of kids there. There's probably more people at the egg hunt this year than all previous years. We had fire engines there. We had the Easter Bunny. We had eggs. You know, we had it all. It was a really great event. People were connecting with each other. Children had great fun. One of the last things we do at the egg hunt, though, is called the cakewalk. I don't know who here has been in a cakewalk before, but cakewalks are really cool. It basically goes like this. It's kind of like musical chairs. You take 12 paper plates, and you put them in a circle, and you number each one 1 to 12. And then you get 12 people to walk around on those plates as you play some music. When the music stops, you step on a plate, and one of the numbered plates, and if your number is drawn of the plate that you're on, then you win the prize. You win the cake. You win the treat. You win, you know, whatever is being given away. And so we were doing that at the end of the egg hunt, and because we had so many people this year, we had to kind of do it in phases, the cakewalk in phases. So 12 people would get around, we'd play the music, and then we would ask those people, hey, can you step off for this next round so the people waiting can step on and get around and have their chance at winning one of the cakes or the prizes. And so some people did that. Most people did that. They were courteous enough to step off. But there was a number of teenagers there, and you guys can kind of know how teenagers are. I mean, sometimes they take advantage of the situation. And so there was this one time where we had asked folks to step off, and some of the teenagers apparently hadn't stepped off. And so there was like 15 people walking around for the 12 plates. And there were some little kids there. And we stopped the music, and people jumped on a plate real quick. And there was, you know, this one particular child that didn't get on the plate. And so the mother, she began to become upset. And she began to chirp. I don't know if y'all know what chirping is, but chirping kind of goes like this, you know. They don't say it directly to you. They just say it loud enough so that you can hear it. Like, what in the world is going on here? Why are there not enough plates? Why haven't my child got them? And you know what, friends? I am so much in favor of her child getting a plate. I would want her child to even win a cake. I mean, who wouldn't want their child? And she was kind of fighting for her child, and I understand that, but she could have done it in 15 better different ways than kind of, you know, poisoning the whole thing. Well, here's the thing, is that for the next couple hours after the egg hunt, I felt bad about that. You know, here we had this great event with, you know, over 150 people there, this great positive day, and I left for 2 hours with that lady's negativity influencing my heart until I finally came to my senses and was like, we had a great event. I am not going to let that poison me. But here's the thing. More often than not, we let the negative outweigh all the positive. In our lives, we let the negative seep in and we let go of the positive really quickly. The problem with that in life is that when we let the negative seep in all the time, we let all this negative stuff, and we take it to heart so easily, then it has a negative influence on us, and we begin to carry emotional baggage. So instead of listening to all the positive things, instead of listening to all the affirmations, we listen to all the negative. We listen to all the hurtful things, and we begin to carry around all this emotional baggage in our lives. Now, most people who tend to battle with emotional baggage tend to hear one of the following negative statements. These negative statements leave wounds and cause us to carry around emotional baggage. The first negative statement that often causes us to have emotional baggage and carry all that around, the first statement is, you don't fit in. That, in other words, you can also hear it said, you don't belong, you're not one of us. Well, if you hear that those words long enough, you don't fit in, whether they're spoken verbally or whether they are just kind of, you know, done by actions where people shun you or they don't let you, you know, into the group. No matter how you hear it, if you hear it enough, It can cause some negativity in your life and cause you to be carrying around emotional baggage. Now, what happens is when we carry around that emotional baggage, we tend to compensate for it and we become conformists, right? When we carry around this baggage of you don't fit in all the time, we begin to try to be like everybody else so we do fit in. And so as teenagers, we begin to, you know, have to have the right clothes all the time. In order to fit in, we have to, you know, hang around with the right people, the in crowd, so that we can fit in, so we can feel good about ourselves and get rid of those negative voices. Or, you know, we begin to experiment with things that we shouldn't experiment with. We date people we shouldn't date. Also, we can fit in. And then we continue it into adulthood. You know, if we've had this emotional baggage from childhood, we continue it into adulthood because we try to keep up with the Joneses. So we might even go into debt so that we can fit in, you know, in our social circle, so that we can fit in with the moms from the PTA, so that we can fit in with the people that we play in a sports league with. We try to keep up with the Joneses. Now, a second negative voice that causes us to carry around this emotional baggage is the voice that says, no matter what, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You don't measure up. You don't have what it takes. You're not good enough. Now, this doesn't cause us to be conformists. When we have this emotional baggage, this causes us to be performers. We begin to perform to compensate for these words. We begin to do all that we can to please other people because we're told we don't matter. You know, there's a really good example of this in the Bible, in Luke's story of Jesus' life. There in the 10th chapter, there's these two sisters that Jesus comes to visit, Mary and Martha. And Mary, when Jesus comes to visit, she sits at Jesus' feet and she takes in all of his teaching. She listens to him. She asks him questions. She just kind of basks in her presence. And then there's the sister Martha, though. And she tries to perform for Jesus. So she's running all around the house, you know, doing all the housework, you know, fixing the ham biscuits, all of those types of things. Come on, folks. I mean, give me a break here. Smile. She's doing all those things, trying to perform for Jesus. She just thinks, you know, if I can just do all these things and Jesus sees me, then he'll approve of me, that he'll like me. But Jesus says to her after a while, after seeing her scurrying around here and there, he says to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Your sister Mary has chosen what is best. See, Martha thought, if I just run around and look busy, then Jesus will notice me. I'll just perform for Jesus and he'll be honored. But that wasn't the case. But sometimes when we're carrying around this emotional baggage, we become like Martha's, always trying to perform for different people. You know, you think of the child that's been told, you know, these lies and these negative influences. They try to perform for their parents. They become perfectionists. They try to get all the good grades so that they can have value in their parents' eyes. You know? Or they try to excel in sports all the time so they can have value in people's eyes. Or they, you know, can't deal with it when they're not first chair for the clarinet in the band. And then we adults do it too. You know, if you're always trying to please your spouse and you're performing for your spouse, if you're always trying to perform for your boss because that's where you get your value, then you might be carrying around some emotional baggage because someone said, either explicitly or implicitly, no matter what, you're not good enough. All right, third negative thing, third negative voice that can be said that leaves us with emotional baggage is when someone says, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. Many of us hear such words, not audibly, but when a parent abandons us or we experience divorce, we might blame ourselves. We hear, you're not worthy. Now, that was never the intended message. But we hear, you're not worthy. When we hear, you're not worthy, we don't become conformists, we don't become performers, but we become clingers. Have you ever been around a clinger? A clingy person needs extra grace. They're EGRs, extra grace required. We have to, you know, kind of see them with Jesus' eyes the best we can. We have to love them with Jesus' heart the best we can. But it's really hard because, you know, a clinger who's been told that, you know, they're not worthy will do things like call you up and say, hey, you know, I just want to make sure we're okay. There's nothing going on between us, right? They're never secure about themselves because they've always been told you're not worthy. Or if you forget to say I love you to them before you hang up the phone, good gosh, you know, that's going to be trouble. Or, you know, a clinger is always a person that stays way too long at the party because they've been told you're not worthy. You know, among women, these are the girls that end up dating the bad guys. It's found in the women who try to find meaning through men. I never quite understood that. Because, ladies, if you're trying to find meaning through men, through us men, that's a dead-end street, I gotta tell you. You'll be disappointed. In John chapter 4, we hear the story of a woman that Jesus met at the well who was trying to do this exact thing. She was trying to find meaning in life through men. And Jesus came and spoke to her and said, you need to find meaning not through men, but through me. And talking with Jesus, it comes out that she'd been married many times. Jesus said to her, you've already been married 5 times, and the man you're living with now is not even your husband. See, he offers her the living water that only he has, that he represents as a way to find meaning. But it all probably went back to her unworthiness. Sometimes that always goes back to unworthiness. It all starts with hearing those voices, you're not worthy. Well, if you've heard those voices before, if that voice is still present in your head and your heart today, if you know somebody that's heard those voices before, you're not worthy, you don't fit in, you'll never measure up, you'll never be good enough, then it's time to slam the door on those voices once and for all. And it's time to replace those voices with the truth of God's Word. It's time to be all that God created you to be. It's time to enjoy the life, the full life that Jesus came to be. And we can experience all those things and become all who God intends us to be when we realize that we receive our identity not from those negative voices, but because of who we are in Christ. It's because of who we are in Christ, church. I want to give you 3 truths from God's Word that speak to who we are in Christ that will slam the door shut on these voices once and for all so that we can become who God intends us to be. The first truth that answers these negative voices is that in Christ, you are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5:17 that I read says, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten. Everything is made new. See, church, in Christ you're forgiven. You're set free. The old junk, the brokenness, the sin, the hurt, it's gone. You're new. You're a new creation. You know, many people can accept the fact that they've been forgiven by God, but then they beat themselves up and they don't forgive themselves. That's a shame because when you don't forgive yourself, when you continually cling to unforgiveness in your own heart and continue to blame yourself over all that is past, guess what? You open up the door again to all those negative voices to infiltrate. So not only must we accept the forgiveness that comes in Christ that makes us new, we have to forgive ourselves. We have to realize that Jesus separates us from our sin and from our brokenness and from our hurt and from our wounds as far as the east is from the west, that He takes all that trash that's been in our life that's been dogging us, and He throws it down the hillside. See, you're loved not because of what you do, not because of who you are in this life, but because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus has done for you. You see, Jesus loves the most successful person just as Jesus loves the least successful person. Jesus loves the person who's down on their luck as much as He loves the person that's riding sky high. It's not about what we do. If we can just wrap our heads and minds around that truth, then the negative voices in our heads will begin to fade away. The door will be shut. The emotional baggage that we're carrying around because of those voices will be able to be put down. Second truth of God that can close the door on these negative voices is that in Christ, you're secure. In Christ, you're secure. God's word says to us, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, now it's God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set a seal of ownership on us, and put a spirit of ownership on us, and put a spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. See, whenever you're feeling insecure because those negative voices are surrounding you, go back to this verse. Remember in your head these verses, and remember that you are secure because you're in Christ. You and I are secure because we are, as Paul said, secured in the blood of Christ. He has anointed us. He's put his seal of ownership on us. He says those negative voices don't have to own us, but I want to own you. I want my truth to own you, not those negative voices. See, church, the voices of negativity from emotional baggage say you're not worthy, you're not good enough, God could never love you. But we know that we don't have to listen to those voices because in Christ, we're secure. Final truth of God's word that will help slam shut the door of negativity that leads to emotional baggage is that we're free. We are free. The Bible says he, or she, the Son has set free is free indeed. John 8:36. When we're in Christ, we're free. We're free from hurt. We're free from those voices. We're free from addiction. We're free from baggage. We can be released from those things that have been weighing us down. We can be like a bird that's been released from its cage to soar to the new heights that God intends for us, to take those chains and to break them once and for all and to be free because of God's love. We can be free to be who God created us to be. Make no mistake about this, friends. Even after we're in Christ, even after we become followers of Jesus, those negative voices will keep coming back. But here's the thing. They don't have to take us captive anymore. Instead, we can take them captive. We can put them under our feet and stomp on them because in Christ, we are free. Church, it's now time for you and I to slam the door. It's time for us to slam the door once and for all and to leave it shut, not to open it back up, not to let that negativity infest our minds and our hearts. When we do so, we can replace the emotional baggage in our life. That emotional baggage can be replaced with God's truth that we're forgiven, that we're secure, and we are indeed free. So in the end, we're not defined by our hurt. We're not defined by what some people did many years ago. But instead, we are defined and our identity comes from who God says we are. And who God says we are is that we are His children whom He loves very much. God says we're forgiven, we're secure, and we're free. Let's pray. Father, we know that we live in an imperfect world. And Lord, we know that many times we, as your people, don't treat one another as you would have us to treat one another. That we sometimes speak into people's lives, either explicitly with our words or even through our actions, negative influences. Lord, some of us here have experienced that in our lives. Some of us have perpetrated it. But Lord, we thank you that your word is truth and it promises to overcome those negative influences. That through your word we can slam the door on that emotional baggage that we've been carrying around. That we can put it down at the foot of your cross and leave it there and take heart in the truth that we are indeed forgiven, secure, and free in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in His powerful name we pray. Amen.